you know, if you keep in your heart that you want to find your own genius, your most joyful work, your passions, what you're naturally good at, what feels like higher purpose, if that's all in your heart and mind to do, this will unfold. It will. It doesn't mean it's easy.
Right.
It feels safe and comfortable in many ways to just stay in something that doesn't work, that doesn't really light you up. But it's so much more joyful when you pursue the direction that feels right in your own heart.
Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is Dr. John Duffy. As always, I so appreciate you taking the time and the effort to find us and to take some time to listen to myself and my guests. I do not take it lightly. I know it's a big deal, and I know it takes some time. So thank you for being here. And I am fortunate enough to once again be sitting across from Gina Murata, the genius guru. Hi, Gina.
Hello.
And if you have not heard the first podcast that Gina and I recorded, I encourage you to stop right now and go back to that podcast and listen to it. You'll hear her fascinating story of her own career journey and how she came to become the genius guru that really, I'm going to say, kind of guides people to find their passion and their purpose. What am I missing? What are you guiding people to find?
Yeah, passion and purpose are a huge part of the container that is our genius.
Yes.
I would add natural talent, like what born to do that is within us, that we can do with fun and ease.
I love that. I love that. And the fun and ease part is no small thing, right? I mean, in between recording, we just took a couple of minutes, and in the last podcast, we talked a little bit about Jim Carrey, and we mused a little bit about comedians, and that's just fun, right? It's kind of fun, and I think it sets us up for a pretty good hour here, whereas we might have been a little more stilted had we not had a moment, right?
Right. That, you know, there are certain people that, you know them. You know people that are just naturally funny.
Yeah.
And I think many of us admire that. You know, that's one of the troubles with genius is we look at what other people are really good at and wish we had that.
Right.
So that's why we might not value our genius. It's really about looking at somebody who's funny and be like, wow, you got that one nailed, you know?
Right.
Looking at somebody who's got, a talent for planning and strategy and connecting dots and like, wow, you really got that nailed. Or somebody who's really good at, you, Dr. Duffy, you know, being compassionate and a listener to help people really discover what it is in their life that they most need to address in order to come out of their shell and be who they really are.
And that's really what was a big point of emphasis for you in that first podcast, right? Is that's what you want for people. And you were abundantly clear that for anybody listening who thinks, this genius thing, it seems pretty good for, I think I know somebody who could use this, but it's not me. I think your point pretty abundantly clearly was, no, it is you. It's every single one of us carries this genius, some degree of genius in some area.
Yes, everyone has genius. And it's just a matter of discovering what yours is. Unfortunately, why many of us don't know what our genius is just because society has picked certain things to put the biggest value on.
Yeah.
And so we think if we don't do that, or maybe just even in our family has valued certain things, or our neighborhood values certain things. If you don't do that really well, and you don't have the exposure to other options, it's very easy for you to think that you're not talented, not good enough, not smart enough. But the reality is you just haven't discovered what yours is yet. It's there. It's really actually kind of easy to find, but it's a process to unveil it so that you can really see it.
What an exciting and liberating thought. And linger on it for a second, folks. You know, like it's there. And you might just have to go through a process to get there. And the process, I'm going to argue, the way you describe it, isn't arduous. It's joyful. Is that fair?
Yes. If you approach it as arduous, as it's going to be difficult. You're probably only approaching it from your brain that's trying to make you fix a problem.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
And where I would counsel people to address the issue of finding your inner genius is really it's from your heart. Your heart is the part of you that it's not just about logic. The heart has, you know, there's a lot of research coming out about the heart even having greater intelligence than the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And what I believe, based on my spiritual study, is that the heart is more connected to God, the universe, the future, what is possible, all the potentiality. And so it can accept, honor, drive you towards something that today may look unreasonable,
yep.
but that actually is possible with the heart guiding the way. To the brain, though, something like that, it'll be like, error, error, does not compute, shut down, shut down, shut down. And you
right.
stop and you, right? The brain will only allow you to embrace what it knows already, what it has experienced. And that's a really limited view, especially for your audience, you know, in your 20s. There's a really limited view of the world. There's so much more you have to see. So following from the heart, where much more is possible, is, I would say, the way to have this be a joyful journey.
I love that. And we are going to get to some of your questions in a moment. But what's it like? I'm just curious, what's it like for you, Gina, as a professional, when you see somebody tap that and recognize that heart, you know, reality, maybe for the first time, you know, as opposed to kind of just working with the logical brain, kind of finding, you know, where their heart and their soul is driving them. What is that like from your eyes?
Well, what I feel like is my most important role in those moments when that happens is to validate what I see. What everybody really wants is to tap into this,
yes.
to like who I really am, what I really am good at, what I'm really passionate about, what am I here on earth to do?
Mm-hmm.
People want to know that so badly.
Yep, yep.
And when I sit across from them and I see them begin to see it, it's my job to encourage it. It's my job to validate it. I also intuitively am very gifted that I can see that genius in someone maybe before they do. So I really know the direction to take them that helps them open it. And I know, like, you're on course here. Yes, yes, yes. And I just validate it. And what it's like to see that happen is, gosh, how do I put something like that into words? It's really magical. It's, you know, it's someone's face like just lit up, almost like a childhood kind of childlike, like glee and innocence. And they've shed away all the pressure of life and just, you know, are having a moment of realizing who they really are. And in those moments, anything seems possible.
Yeah. How beautiful is that, right? I mean, it's got to be amazing to usher somebody to that moment in their life. That's so cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're up for it, I've got a few questions for you from some of your clients, some of my clients, some of the young people we both come across.
Yeah. So I really wanted to know what your audience is wanting to know about,
yeah.
you know, given my expertise and my experience around genius. I work most of my clientele right now is people in their 30s, 40s, 50s who
right.
are unhappy in their careers.
But already in them.
That already in them, mm-hmm. very deep in them.
Right.
And the audience I'm really wanting to explore, and I've dabbled with and I've done some work with college students or young adults who are just starting their career. I know I have so much valuable information to give them because I'm like, here's what the adults have done wrong and they regret. And so I want to, you know, help you get on the path of like, you don't have to go through those mistakes.
Oh, the preemptive strikes, such a good,
yes.
such a great thing, right? Yeah.
Yes. And because so many adults in their 30s, 40s, 50s have made certain mistakes, it's unfortunate, but they are then advising the youth the way they were advised or they're advising based on the paths they took that got them to places they actually aren't so happy at.
Yeah.
So what I know, even though the intentions are so good, is that a lot of adults that you all, the audience here, may be admiring are not always giving you the best advice. So I wanted to, you know, talk about your real questions. Absolutely. And maybe provide a different perspective to give you some different options.
Yeah, I love that. What I find, and again, we'll get to the questions in just a moment, is that you were saying the last hour we spoke that, you know, people might be leading you in the wrong direction, not willfully, not, you know, but always with the best of intentions. But sometimes when we're driven by fear or judgment or ego, we're driving you in the wrong direction, or we're driving ourselves in the wrong direction, and we make our worst decisions. But if we can kind of strain some of that away, and I think that's part of what you do, is you take some of the fear away, and so people can really hear what their heart is telling them, you know, kind of like almost screaming at them, yeah. You know, but it's so hard to hear through the noise.
Yeah. And yeah. One of the things I'll just say as like an overview, something to think about, is if you're out there getting advice for your career, advice for anything, really, you really want the advice from somebody who's doing it in a way you admire.
Love that.
I heard from a friend of my mom's once dating advice. She said, stop getting advice from your single girlfriends because they haven't figured it out.
Makes sense, right?
It kind of blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, you're right. Blind leading the blind. Like, if I want to really, you know, have a great partner, my girlfriends who don't know how to do that aren't the people to tell me how, right? So if Brilliant. You're in your career, if you're being advised by people who are not having the level of joy that you want, you just want to be cautionary about the advice that they're giving. Like that's perspective to have. And, you know, when you're a little younger, you just think you're supposed to take the advice of the adults, or they might make you feel like you should because right. they're older. But take the advice from those you admire, and, you know, feel free to scope me out, look at my website and see if I'm to you somebody worth listening to. But what I can tell you here is that I love what I do.
Yeah.
And I've worked really hard to get to a place of breaking through barriers, breaking through my old thinking, breaking through what other people thought I shouldn't do, to create my own business that I absolutely love. I get to be creative every day. I get to be myself every day. And if that's what you're looking for, this is the podcast to listen to advice around getting there.
Yeah, I love that about you know, you and your work, Gina, is that your life models and mirrors what you want to teach. And, you know, I think it's so much harder to do any of this kind of work when you're working from theory as opposed to, I've been there. I
yes.
know what it feels like, you know? And so I can guide you. I know I can guide you, as opposed
Absolutely.
To like, I read a book that told me how, right?
Absolutely. And that's whenever I hire somebody to help me with something, or I seek out a mentor, or guidance from somebody, I always look for somebody who's been through that experience.
Yes.
That's the person's advice. That's the advice I want.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so let's go through a few of these listener questions and let's see what you think. The question I'm reading first here: there are a lot of tough bosses in almost every career field. How do you know when your boss is just being hard on you versus harassment? When is enough enough?
Such a great question.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people dealing with work environments that don't feel good to them. Now, this is not even about what you're doing, the job.
Right.
This is about the environment. You feel like you're around, in this question, as one maybe particular person. Maybe it's the culture.
Right.
And that's actually a really important question in your career, not just what you do, but where you do it, who you do it with.
Great point,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, you might have the right idea, but the atmosphere is critical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You want to be somewhere that you can thrive and be who you are. Even just hearing that question, the sort of energy of it, I'm going to suggest that person is probably in a situation to get out of. That's based on if you're even thinking I might be getting harassed here, you're obviously feeling it. So your inner self is sort of like red flags are going up,
yeah,
right?
It's a pretty powerful suggestion, isn't it?
So if you feel like it, chances are, yes, you likely are getting harassed. But here's what I would suggest for somebody in that situation.
Please.
Find somebody you trust to talk to about this. when you're in a situation, it's very easy to be clouded by it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, if we have our own, if you are somebody, let's say, who's hard on yourself, that doesn't really know who you are yet, that might be self-critical, it's actually can be really common that even if it's not intended that way, you almost hear how other people talk to you as being mean and critical.
Right.
As a psychologist, maybe you have labels for this, but
right. But I, broadly speaking, that's
yes,
the point. Right.
It happens,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It absolutely.
So
happens.
It is possible that you're in a work scenario and you're interpreting things. I don't even say incorrectly, but it may not be as bad as you think.
Right.
Right. It mm-hmm. may, like, because she's asking, is there a line here? How do you determine that line? And that's why I'm saying talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody who knows you, somebody who would be sensitive to this type of issue.
Not dismissive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Because listen, you could end up being like, I know about myself, I'm very sensitive, and it's part of my gifts. I'm very intuitive. That's something I've learned to embrace and be proud of. So for me to be in an environment where somebody's even a little critical of me, it's not going to work. It's just, we are not going to work well together. It won't work. Somebody else might have a personality that they're a little more rough around the edges, and they're it's fine for them. They
yeah.
might want to, like, you know, razz back and forth with somebody, and it might feel a little harsh, and they'd be okay with it. So I'm saying, like, talk to somebody who knows you and can help you feel into, is this situation right for you or is it not right for you? And are there steps you can take? That person maybe can give you some suggestions. Again, when you're in it, it's hard to know, because you're maybe intimidated in that situation, and somebody can just kind of take that step back and say, well, okay, you know, maybe here's a conversation you can have with that person.
Right.
And I feel like in a lot of situations like this, it's at least worth potentially talking to whoever you're having a difficult time with. I'll add that too. You know, sort it out yourself first with
right.
a friend. Don't go direct to that person. Always sort it out yourself first, like your own feelings about it, and, you know, take some time in that. And then, you know, if it is a situation where you want to potentially stay there and salvage it, you know, can you talk to that person about it? You might need support. Maybe you need a coworker or a supervisor or something.
Mediator of some kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But can you talk to that person about it? Because sometimes people don't realize either your sensitivity or that they're behaving in a certain way. This may be really surprising to your audience, but I actually, at one point, was a bit of an abusive manager with my team. When I first became a manager, I had no real training around it.
Right.
And I was somebody, the person was really hard on myself. So once I started getting the ability to be a manager and guide for others, I was talking to them the way I talked to myself.
Wow, Gina, that is striking. Yes, I think that's going to surprise anybody who's listening. It surprises me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what this may help your listeners understand too, because, you know, it can become important, is that, you know, that person who's being a jerk
mm-hmm.
is suffering themselves in some way. That's why they're being that way, right?
Right, right, of course.
Right. So maybe there's at least a little room for compassion. Now, when you talk to them about, you know, how something's not working for you in the way that they're interacting with you, you want to be real specific.
Right.
You know, you said this, here's the impact it had on me, right? It's not just general, will you treat me to, no. Can't do that. You got to get real specific. And what's important is if this feels like the right thing, then you have this conversation, then see how it's handled. Because that will tell you if this is somebody who's willing to say, wow, gosh, I didn't realize it. Maybe they say that in the moment. Maybe they say it to you a week later. Then you've got somebody you can work with. And that's real life. Like in real life, people, you know, aren't always their best selves.
So yeah, if you can navigate that issue with that person, you've set a new standard for that relationship,
yes.
right? That you can fall back on,
yes.
right? Yeah, that's
yes.
Workplace issues. Just hearing you address that one question are so multifaceted and complex, right? I mean, there are no pat answers. You
right.
know, it depends on your own sensitivities and your own interests and how you relate to people. I can see where a lot of consultation is helpful.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. And this is where, you know, I feel like people can get their answers, because that can seem complex. Like, well, why isn't there just an answer to know how to do this? The answers are always going to be inside of you. So mm-hmm. it's like, check in with yourself.
Right.
Yes, you can hire me. I'd love to talk to you. But if you can't do that, it's, you know, check in with you. Like, what do I need? What feels like the right next step here? Is it, do I talk to a friend? And who's that friend?
Right.
Right? Like, listen to yourself. And it takes some vulnerability. And, you know, I remember the first time I ever sat with a friend to talk about a workplace issue, I felt so embarrassed.
Sure. Yeah.
I was like, you know, I shouldn't have this kind of problem. This shouldn't mm-hmm. happen to me. I felt so embarrassed. But it was one of the most life-transforming moments of my life, because that opened the world to me, that when something wasn't working, I was like, oh my gosh, I have this one person I can talk to. And then that number grew. There was then more people that became friends that I could trust and begin to navigate discovering who I am, what I need, what I want. Holding it inside, as I first did, out of embarrassment, is what made these things grow worse.
So kind of the courage of vulnerability and not settling for that kind of grave discomfort in the workplace where you spend so many waking hours.
Yes.
Critical, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Perfect. Okay. Let's go to another question here. When and how do you ask for a raise? And is there a chain of command that should be followed?
Okay.
So there's somebody who feels like they're making not quite enough money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and again, the money issue, I would say there's an inner gut feeling about if you're making money that's the right amount for what you do
right.
or not. Because money is really an energy exchange, right? I do something for someone to receive something back. And money is one form of receiving something back. I could do something for someone else, and it's not money they give me, but, you know, they offer to do me a favor. Like this, you know, just it's just an exchange.
It's a great way to look at it, too, right? I mean, it takes because I think money is such a scary idea to people. But if you look at it as an energy exchange, you know,
right.
it becomes very kind of like pragmatic in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if you listen to yourself, you can tell, am I getting the right exchange from this person for mm-hmm. what I'm doing, or this company for what I'm doing? You'll know if it feels like the right amount or the wrong amount. Something else that I think is important to factor in here, however, is money isn't the only measure for an exchange, right? Like, you may have a job that is giving you amazing experience in a certain field that you're like, oh my gosh. You know, I think in the media world, it works a lot like this. I'm not saying it's right, but you don't get paid really well when you're starting out, but you might get really great exposure to role models and such, right?
Invaluable experience, right? In that field you want to be in so badly, mm-hmm. right?
So you can attach value to that, right? It's not just the dollars you're getting. It also could be like, oh my gosh, but I'm getting to work with this person or this team, and that is, you know, value that I'm receiving.
That's a good point.
So keep that in mind too.
Yeah.
Listen to yourself. If something feels off about the money that you are making, look at the whole picture. Here's something, again, I'm just kind of feeling into this particular question. I'm wondering if the person who asked this, if you get to this place of like, I don't think I'm making enough money, is it really about the money or is it really about the job?
Mm. What makes you think it's, help me out. What makes you think it might be about the job as opposed to like, because the question on the face of it seems pretty straightforward, right? I want a raise.
Right.
But you're thinking maybe it's deeper than that.
Yeah. Huh? When we start, so sometimes we get distracted by smaller points and don't ask the bigger question, if that makes sense, right?
It does. Yep.
You know, you nitpick at the issue of money, but what's really is like, this actually isn't really the job I want, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's really the issue.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to open that up for anybody who's asking that question. Maybe the bigger question should be answered first.
Right.
Like, is this a
smoke screen of some kind?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Is this what I really want to do?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing I know, and I don't mean this to deflect, we should get paid well for what we do.
Sure.
However, there are parts of what I do now and opportunities that come to me that I'm like, I don't care if I get paid. I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so if you love what you do, money is it matters, but it's like secondary.
Right.
Right. Like if you're doing the things that are the most fun, you just kind of know to trust that you'll get the money that you need, and you just want to do the thing that's fun.
So you want to. So in a way, you want to trust the process. Do you trust that, you know, well, if I'm doing what I love, money's going to come along?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
It will. If you keep doing what you love, you will excel at it and the money will follow. When you're in your 20s, you may not see the money quite yet.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I will address the direct question because it's important as well. But I think those bigger questions are the place to start.
Yeah.
Make sure you're doing what you love or on track for it, right? Like
right.
It's opening. You're going that direction. But so more specifically, if you are thinking about asking for a raise and you've moved through everything I've said and you're like, I love what I do and all this is great experience, but I still feel that I should get paid more, right?
Uh-huh.
So good for you for having that sense of yourself and initiative. The first thing I would say is get to learn a little bit about the culture of your company for how they give raises. Because depending on the size of the company, most companies have policies or sort of, you know, a standard. Some companies aren't giving raises at all.
Right.
Some companies are really generous or they have bonus structures or something. So I would say kind of explore, find out. You might directly ask your manager, right?
Yeah. What do I do to get a raise?
Right.
You know, right.
Right. What do I need to know about right. this company and its policies for increase in pay?
Huh.
So that's one thing is kind of get the lay of the land. The other is, I think what's probably pretty common these days is raises are, for the most part, unless you get like an incentive structure built in the company, which I don't know that you see so much in your 20s. But for the most part, raises aren't that significant these days. I think when we were younger, you know, people would say like 10, 15, 20% raises. I don't think that really happens anymore.
I don't think so either.
So I feel like the better question is look at how can you start moving up.
Right.
How can you either get, like, when's the promotion that you want that will pay more money? How do you make a plan to get there? Or if you're the creative type, this would totally be me, and I know a lot of people like this, like you could actually try to create opportunity for yourself of like, well, wow, the company's sort of missing this gap here. I could figure out how to fix that, and maybe that would be worth money to them if I do that. Now so, they'll pay me more to do that in addition
right.
to the job I'm doing now.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking, I'm reminded of a young guy who did that very thing. He worked for this large insurance company, and we brainstormed a little bit about, you know, he really felt like he was being underpaid. And he had asked his boss a couple times about this without thinking, what value am I bringing and what value should I be bringing, you know? And so to your point, he really did decide like, well, I need to point out to him why I'm worth the
yes.
money I'm asking for. And so he kind of came up with some thoughts about what value he's not just not what he's done already, you know, not just pitching like, you know, this is what I've done, so you owe me, but this is what I plan to do. And this is what, you know, this is how I fit into the big scheme here.
So great. And that's
yeah.
about somebody who took time to get to know more about his genius. Because you could be standing side by side with another coworker and you're getting paid the same amount of money, which seems just and seems right. However, when you get to say, but wait, I bring these things, and here's what the value is of that. Right now, you're eligible to be in a different category and to be paid differently because you're not just maybe rotely doing the job the way that it's supposed to be done. You've actually kind of given yourself a promotion,
right?
Right, because you're adding all these other skills, so that's worth more money.
I love that you've created your own promotion
yeah,
in a way. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Okay, all right. Genius guru. How do you know when it's time to move on, when it's time for that next step?
Okay, so someone who's maybe feeling in their career that they're not getting the joy that they
mm-hmm.
want.
Well put.
Here's, I want to use an analogy for this question. Analogy is a garden.
Okay.
So Dr. Duffy, let's imagine that you decide that you would like a garden in your backyard, right?
I can picture it now.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Would you have that idea today and then wake up tomorrow and be like, I don't have a garden. I'm so mad at myself. What's wrong with my life? This is terrible. Would you do that the next day?
I might, yeah. but it's probably not the best. I'm guessing that's not the advice you're offering.
But you're talking about human nature might be sure. As soon as we get an idea, as soon as we see that
done.
We want something, we want it right away.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. But what's the reality about the garden, right? You have to start, like you just said, I see it now. You have to start visualizing it.
Right.
What do I want this to look like? Maybe you want to talk to some people who have beautiful gardens and find out, you know, what do I need to know about starting a garden? Whatever area you want to create it, well, there's something that's already there and you're going to have to like figure out how to change that, remove it. What are you going to do with whatever was there, right? So what I'm saying is as soon as you start to get that feeling, doesn't mean it's time. It means you're beginning a process. You're beginning to plant a garden, okay?
And process requires some patience, requires
yes.
some time,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to find a way to kind of get into the process.
Yes.
Yeah, and
so,
trust it to some extent.
Right, so once you start to have a feeling that it's time to move on.
Right.
It may be 6 months, it may be a year, it might be a couple weeks, right? We don't know, but what we know is you're at the beginning of a vision, okay? So if you have no idea where you want to go next, then you're probably at a very early stage, right? Ideally, you want to know where you want to go next. Now, there's a caveat here. If you're in a toxic environment, right, there may be some situations where immediately leaving is important.
Great caveat. Critical, right? I mean, yeah, don't
yes.
stick around in a toxic environment
yeah.
for no reason.
Right. If it's toxic and you just kind of need to get out of there, that's a separate question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about situations where you're starting to get the feeling, you feel safe, you feel like you're doing a decent job, nobody's abusive to you, people treat you with respect and kindness. If that's your situation, then just know that you're at the beginning of this moving on to the next thing. And I can say from my career, which I talked about a bit on the last podcast, or I have my whole story of my career transitions. I made two big career leaps. That's on my website if you want to read about it.
I encourage you to read about it. It is a gripping story.
Ah, gripping. That's great. Thank you for that compliment. But what I would say, and you'll see this from my story, is that it was about like a year and a half, 2 years before I made major transitions. Like I had started having a gut feel like it's time to maybe do something different. But the whole process of discovering what did I want to do next, how do I leave what I've already committed to
mm-hmm.
gracefully
right.
and honoring everybody, honoring myself and saying goodbye to something that was an important part of me. Like all of that actually can take some time. So, you know, just like planting the garden, you know, you want to know that, okay, I have this great idea. You know, maybe you're in a job and you're like, I don't really like this job. So your idea right now is I want a job I love. That's your idea. Or, you know, you're in one career and now you're pretty clear. I'm going to shift to this career.
Right.
Right. Now you're at the beginning of that. Okay. Well, now you got to figure out how to get into that career.
Right.
Right.
So,
so know that you're in a process, like planting a garden. There will be the, you know, the next steps to follow that will take you to where it is that you ultimately want to go.
And you've been there. You've planted that garden more than once
yes.
in your career, right?
Yes.
So you can speak from experience
yes.
that the garden grows.
It does grow.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, if you keep in your heart that you want to find your own genius, your most joyful work, your passions, what you're naturally good at, what feels like higher purpose, if that's all in your heart and mind to do, this will unfold. It will. It doesn't mean it's easy.
Right.
It feels safe and comfortable in many ways to just stay in something that doesn't work, that doesn't really light you up. But it's so much more joyful when you pursue the direction that feels right in your own heart.
It feels like to hear you talk about it, it feels like the only right way to go, the only fulfilling way where, you know, at the end of a career, you don't look back with regret.
Yes,
yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah. Are we up for entertaining another question?
Yes.
All right, let's do one more. Any suggestions on the difference between moving on and giving up or quitting? Like, you know, what's the difference between I'm going to move on and I'm considering myself a quitter of some kind?
Wow, great question. So I want to take a minute, like, why might somebody feel like a quitter? We talked in the last episode about shoulds, what we think we're supposed to do in our lives that might feel like obligation because somebody else wants us to go that direction, or society says this is the most valuable thing you can do with your life based on your circumstances. So we might feel like a quitter because we're giving up on something that we feel we should be doing. And in that situation, I think it's very healthy to let go of something that you think you should be doing to instead pursue something that you really want to do and feel really drawn naturally to pursue. It's not quitting in that situation. It's shedding. It's letting go. It's moving on. The phrase that was in that question.
Yes.
And I think that's something to admire if that's the case.
What a great reframe. What a critical reframe, right? You know, because I actually worked with this yesterday. I worked with somebody who is in a particular career and is judging himself because he's wondering, like, am I a quitter? Literally used the word less than a day ago, which sometimes is just kismet the way these things work out, right? And those words are so powerful. It's shedding, it's letting go, it's growing, right? As opposed to, like, you know, labeling yourself and judging yourself a quitter. You know, think about it, you know, turn that 180 degrees. You know, you're shedding. You've gotten what you need from this and you're ready to move on.
Yes.
It's so big. I mean, and I think as long as you hold on to, if I follow you right, this idea that you're a quitter, well, then the joy is going to be out of your reach. You know, even if you move, you might not move in the right direction, and it might not matter a whole lot because that judgment lingers.
Yeah. And you know, nobody talks about this idea of shedding and releasing and letting go. I think it's just natural that this term quitter kind of comes into our minds and our consciousness. And I feel a lot of compassion for the person you mentioned or anybody who might be in that situation, that they it's like you feel guilt and obligation, like I'm supposed to do this for somebody else, or you know, in living your life for somebody else or because it's what you think you should do is when you will look back on your career with regret.
Right. Yeah, I'm thinking, as you talk, I'm thinking about you and I. I'm thinking about our careers. I mean, you know, if we were in the mindset of calling ourselves quitters, we would not be in this room. There'd be a lawyer on one side of the table and a very anxious CPA on the other side, wholly unfulfilled, probably doing perfectly reasonable work, but not tapping the genius.
And I'm going to be real honest. We would probably both be sick. One of us might have had cancer, heart disease, because that's also the reality of this stuff. It's not just about, am I happy? Which matters a whole lot.
Yep.
Because when you're happy, you're like good to yourself, you're good to other people, you make the world a better place. But if you're not, and you're feeling like really unfulfilled, you literally do start to get ill. And I have some tracking in my own history where I can actually find a point in my career that I started getting precancerous cells. And I look at how I look back now and I'm like, oh my gosh, I made a big pivot at that point. And I did not get cancer, but I was on track to.
Yep. I completely believe that. And I think we should linger on this point for just a moment because I agree with you wholly on this point, and it's no small thing. You know, we talked in the last hour about, you know, that finding your passion and your genius isn't frivolous. You're right, it maintains your health, and ignoring it, you're going to get sick in one way or another, either medically or emotionally.
Yes.
Or both, right? Yes. It will affect your spirit, it will affect your health. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah.
So this is important, finding your genius, not just so you're doing the work you're supposed to do, but for your life, for your longevity, and for just about every important element of your life. It matters.
Yeah.
Um, I have put you in an uncomfortable spot a couple of times, and you always rise to the occasion. I'm going to do it one last time
before we finish.
Okay, so if you had one broad. So we've got, you know, a number of questions, and my hope is that you'll come back and join me again, and we can address more of them. But if you had one broad piece of advice for a, let's say, a young person, 20, 23, who's listening right now, wholly unsure of where they're headed or where they want to go, what would you advise that person? Is there a starting point for them?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the advice of find somebody you really can trust to talk to about this.
Yeah,
it might be a hired therapist like Dr. Duffy. It might be a genius coach like me, but it might be a compassionate parent. It might be a peer. It might be a mentor in your work. It might be somebody from your neighborhood that you admire. You know, sometimes we get angels sent to us, and it might not even be somebody you know yet. But if you just say, you know, I really need somebody to talk to about this, somebody may come into your life. And what we all need to start this journey, if we're feeling like I'm not happy right now, is we just need people who can listen to us. And it could start with one person that will let you be who you really are. If I've seen anything transform people in an instant, it's acknowledging them for who they really are, letting them be who they are. They can take the masks off. They can take the pressure off. And that is medicine. It's absolute medicine. So I would say that's the biggest takeaway, is find somebody that you can really start to talk to your career about, that you trust and you admire and you know will keep your confidences.
Gina, that's just brilliant. And I love that you added that you trust and you admire, not just somebody who's present, but somebody who's really, really there for you, hears you.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I thank you so much. Gina is the genius guru. She will help you find your genius. Where can we find you, Gina?
Yeah. Hey, guys, check out my blog every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. I'm not even awake that early. I, you probably aren't either, but I just set it on automatic to go out at that time. Every Tuesday morning, my blog can be emailed to you if you go to my website. And I really try to keep it playful and fun and light. Tips around tuning into your genius, tips around having a great career. I, you know, love to have, you know, questions. If you want to send me questions, you can link to my contact information. Let me know what you want to know about. I'll take that into consideration for what I write in my upcoming blogs. So just go to GinaMorata.com. You can also find from there how you can follow me on social media. I have a Facebook page, The Genius Guru. I'm on Instagram at Gina Morata, and also Twitter. So stay in touch, and I just giving blessings to all of you that you find that person or are really leaning into that person that's already in your life to help you make the most of your career.
And if you're lucky enough and you feel a little bit lost, I strongly encourage you to reach out to Gina, because she has a gift that is a rare thing, where she can really, truly help you find your genius and your path and your direction. So do not lose sight of that. And the website is fun. So go check it out now. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and WGN Plus. If you have thoughts, comments, smart remarks, or any ideas for this podcast, or you'd like to be a guest, write me at johngduffy@drjohnduffy.com. As always, I so appreciate your time, and I hope you found this hour fulfilling. On behalf of Gina and myself, thanks so much for joining us. I will talk to you next time.